Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm beginning this show in order to continue to spread the word about PTSD service dogs in general, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and just various aspects of service dog life.
How do you deal with the adversity that can occur when somebody objects to the presence of your service dog?
Focus on your dog.
A service dog cannot be a protector. Many handlers don't know what they can't do.
The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on WDVR DV Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. This week we have an interview with disabled Navy veteran Brittany Fintel, who has been adventuring with her service dog Indiana and had a very unfortunate accident. Before we get started in our conversation, I need to remind you that you're listening to the Service Dog Show on dvradio.net, WDVR, and there are more shows like this. One show of note on Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern is Not Another Military Spouse. It's great to have kind of the perspective of the military spouses. It is hosted by Owl, who is Chappie from Disgruntled Vet's Wife, and their show is very entertaining. So check it out, Not Another Military Spouse on dvradio.net, WDVR. Once again, we're here with Brittany Fintel. Brittany, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So Brittany, you are at this moment in a veterans home recovering from a very potentially an almost life-ending fall.
Yeah.
You were climbing Mount St. Helens on the 14th of July, and for the safety of your service dog, you had moved from the packed rock trail onto some snow because the volcanic rock was understandably hurting the dog's feet, and you slipped.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a bit about it.
So going up, I knew the dangers of the rock, especially what it could do with my dog. I ended up talking to a couple hikers, and everything. Everyone said that there was no snow in the path, and technically on the trail there was no snow, and everything like that. But what I didn't realize, and because most of the hikers that I talked to also had friends do the hikes and it was their first time, the boulder field and the scree, which is like the loose rock, actually lasted for a little over a mile. And it's all volcanic rock, very pumicey, very sharp. A lot of hikers, I guess, wear gloves while hiking it just for their own safety of their own hands. So I made sure, you know, to check Indy's paws the whole time, you know, as we're going up. He ended up finding snow off to the side, and I think he was just pretty much telling me that he wanted to walk on the snow versus the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to pretty much stay within the rock line because that was the trail, and then be on the snow with him so that I could still, you know, look out for him, because when I'm doing these hikes, I usually have him off leash.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, within vocal commands to be able to stay close to me, but, you know, close enough where it's safe for both of us, essentially,
yeah,
just in case something like this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's almost taken me over a cliff before when a trail got really narrow and he wanted to heel, and it got really narrow. He slid off, and luckily because he was sort of tethered to me, I was able to grab a tree and pull him up, but for the safety of not having that ever happen again, and us both going over or me losing him, we just trained him with vocal commands to be, you know, nearby me so that we're both safe while, you know, hiking and exploring.
Right.
So we decided to take the snow. There was only probably 0.1 miles left of us doing the boulder field before we hit the ash part of the trail. And so I was going to get back over to the boulders, and I was kicking myself a footing in the snow. And when I put my foot down in it, the snow apparently didn't want to hold the footing that I created, and I ended up sliding about 300 to 500 feet, hitting a bunch of scree and more loose rocks and rolling around in that for a while until I eventually stopped.
Wow. Yeah. Now, we're going to break this down a little bit. And first of all, I know that you've taken a lot of flack for hiking with Indy off leash.
Yes.
Now, the ADA is very clear that a service dog is supposed to be on leash unless the leash interferes with the dog's ability to work or perform tasks for its handler. I think it's also very clear in the law that there are situational considerations that need to be taken. And in this situation, I think it was absolutely the safest thing to do to not use a leash for safety's sake, both for you and Indy. And the reason I say that, having done some alpine hiking in my own time, when you slide, if you're tethered to your dog, you both slide.
They're going to go with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, in this situation, I've seen the pictures of the mountainside of the segment of the trail where you slid. It probably would have killed both of you. The leash would have yanked Indy down with you. And then as you were tossing and turning, sliding,
he'd be doing the same.
Yeah, he would be doing the same. So the leash would have wrapped you both up into a ball. And, well, I don't even want to think about what would have happened to both of you there.
Yeah.
Was Indy injured at all?
No. The hike up, because of, you know, my decision to take the snow, the fact that he is pretty much should live on a mountain. Mm-hmm. He lives for hiking. No, he was not injured at all. The only issue that we had was, when we, cause it was 5 hours before the Coast Guard showed up, and everyone that was there, I had two guys that were search and rescue, and they actually said that that was fast. And we tried to make sure Indy had water. I mean, they were feeding him jerky. But when the rescuers took him down, they did have to have him leashed, just because they obviously can't, you know, they don't have a good recall with him.
Right. Yeah. He's not so their service dog. He's yours. Yeah.
Yeah. So it took him a while to get him down, you know, safely. So it was a very slow process for them to get down with all the boulders. Mm-hmm. Cause obviously they didn't want to take the snow.
Right. They didn't want to make the same mistake.
Yeah, exactly. So his paws did get a little torn up. Mm-hmm. Luckily when the volunteers brought him to the hospital the next day, the staff was really great and they actually, you know, put some ointment on it for me and wrapped his paws up, so that they could heal, but it was nothing like really bad from what they could show me since I was in the hospital bed and not really moving at the time.
Right.
It just looked more red. It wasn't, you know, like torn up or anything like my, my issues or my scars. So it wasn't bad. So he was still good. He did, have heat exhaustion just a little bit. I mean, granted it was 70 degrees up on the mountain. But pure sun, you know, blaring down and everything.
Yeah.
So by the time that he got down there, I guess the volunteers were saying he just wanted to stay on the snow. He just wanted to eat it. He just wanted to lay in it. When they got near a stream, he just wanted to lay in the stream and, you know, drink that and, mm-hmm. you know, cool himself down essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's used to us hiking where like every 500 feet he gets water. When it's like a very strenuous hike or hot. And I think that the volunteers were just trying to get off the mountain. I mean, they were up there for probably 5-6 hours,
yeah.
you know, and it takes about, I think just going down, maybe like 4 hours to just get down because wow. of how loose the rocks are, because we had to be careful, not having anyone come on the trail ahead of us. Because the rocks are so loose that they would roll onto us and squish all of us that were waiting for the helo.
Wow.
That's how dangerous it is. Yeah.
So Let me ask you, this is not your first hike, as you said already, with Indy. Why are you hiking?
I honestly started hiking last year, got really into it. It's pretty much the only thing that clears my mind. I was a very huge advocate for alternative therapies when dealing with my PTSD. So I did like surf clinics with Wounded Warriors and a couple other things. And I just sort of fell into hiking. I mean, I love going to the national parks, but I would mostly just camp there. And eventually Indy and I decided to start hiking. And I think honestly, that's when we started bonding better, was while we were hiking, because I was no longer anxious or agitated or any of those, you know, that come along with the PTSD. I was actually sort of happy and in my element. And so he was able to be happy and in his element. So it was something that we both could enjoy doing together and also challenge each other, you know, to make these long hikes and get to these certain elevations.
Yeah. So the hiking is therapeutic.
Yeah.
And taking your PTS dog with you is natural. I mean, it would be the same as if you were wearing a prosthetic leg.
Correct. Yeah.
Same thing. And that's, you know, one thing that people don't necessarily understand is that from a legal perspective, from the Americans with Disabilities Act, a service dog is durable medical equipment. It's not a pet. They are trained to perform tasks specifically to assist their disabled handler with the symptoms of their disability. And they, you know, you wouldn't criticize a person with a prosthetic leg for hiking with their prosthetic leg. So criticizing somebody.
And there's a lot of people that do that.
Yeah. And so criticizing somebody who uses their service dog, takes their service dog with them, well, if you didn't need to take your service dog with you, you don't need a service dog. Disability, especially PTSD, doesn't turn off. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't go away. You can't flip a switch and not need the service dog. And people don't understand a lot of the time how our PTS dogs help us and how they make it so that we can go do things to return to some sense of normalcy, to return to you know, to improve our quality of life. And hiking is certainly an improvement as far as life is concerned.
And I wouldn't hike by myself. I wouldn't honestly have even thought of traveling by myself if it wasn't for him and my therapist pushing me to start doing something that I used to enjoy doing prior to getting, you know, diagnosed with PTSD.
Right.
So he's pretty much my life force and what drives me to do these things, because I want him to be happy, which in turn sort of makes me happy.
Well, and it's a partnership. It's a team. You become you and your service dog. I mean, I'm speaking from personal experience. Skeeter and I call him my brother. We're joined at the hip. We're with each other 24/7. And, we both rely on each other. I rely on him in very different ways than the ways that he relies on me. But it's almost a symbiotic relationship and mutually beneficial for both dog and handler. And I think people don't understand that. I think a friend of mine said it best, with PTSD, you have a short, in the fuse box in your brain, and the PTSD service dog makes up for that short. It becomes the fuse that burned out for you, so that you can make decisions based on your dog's reaction to your mood and to situations, rather than decisions based on what your brain is misperceiving because of PTSD. Does that make sense?
Correct. Yeah, and that's why I always liked him, because I could be so scared of something and he's just looking at me like, that's nothing, woman. You need to calm down. He can read me really, really well. And like I said, I think I went through a training program that I am not proud of. Mm-hmm. And I've had to do a lot of work myself to get to him to where he is right now. Mm-hmm. But that's why I said, like, the bonding for us started, I think, mostly when we started hiking about, like, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because the program I went through was so negative. They didn't believe in positive reinforcement or anything along those lines. So hiking, it seems like, was his positive reinforcement. He became so much better. Yeah, and we just bonded immediately because of having that passion to be out in, you know, nature and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he can read me like a book. And I mean, obviously the biggest thing is he helped me from going into shock after I fell.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask, you fell, Indy found a way to follow you. And while you were at the bottom of the fall, where you kind of landed, for lack of a better way to describe it, tell me what Indy did.
He just immediately rushed up to me, licked my face because I was pretty much in shock, like, that I was even alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't really, like, aware of my surroundings. I was well aware enough to yell help.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a bunch of hikers behind me. But once he licked my face, that's when I was able to say help, I believe. All of that seems a little fuzzy as to when I said help or anything like that. If I said help before he came, everything from me, like, hitting the rocks, I remember. But that's the only part that seems hazy as to when he came up. But
mm-hmm.
again, licked my face, licked my hands. So then I started, like, being able to self-assess any damage that has been done, and then immediately leaned into me to just pretty much create the comfort,
right,
saying, like, I'm going to be here with you. And he stayed with me until the volunteers had to move him away for the helo to land and get me in the litter and up into the helo.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Let's talk about your injuries. What happened?
Luckily, it was nothing bad. One, I'm alive, and mm-hmm. I should be dead. I have what they thought was a broken hip on the mountain ends up being I broke my pelvic bone. Mm-hmm. So my iliad crest is apparently broken. I have a broken rib, and I have a broken part of my spine, but nothing that will ever, I mean, I'm up and walking, so obviously it didn't paralyze me, but none of it required surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to get two things of stitches, and the rest of just broken, like, bruises and scratches.
Mm-hmm. Did you get a concussion?
Oh, yes. And I got an awesome, wicked awesome concussion, and got a nice little bump on the side of my head, too.
So now you're looking at possibly TBI from the concussion. Sounds like with the broken pelvic bone, you said you're up and walking, but are you thinking that you're probably going to have some mobility issues in the future?
Yeah. So we've actually been working on trying to use Indy for balance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to look into getting, hopefully it won't be for that long. It's mostly just until the bone heals.
Mm-hmm.
So he might not need to be trained for mobility, like, for a long period of time. But my physical therapist actually yesterday made me not use my walker and walk around the room and pick up things.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily Indy was by my side. Anytime I had a balance issue, he stopped and he let me put my hand on him to balance myself.
Mm-hmm.
So he's already sort of picking up on the fact that I need him for that.
Yeah.
Naturally. So, we just kept working on that, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
He's not tall enough, so I definitely need like a harness.
Right.
Because he's like 2 inches too short for me to really do that. I have to sort of lean to sort of get on him,
mm-hmm.
or to hold him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're trying to work that into my physical therapy so that I can get away from the walker, you know, rely on him a little bit if I need to. We're also trying to work on balance, so I don't need to rely on him, you know, too much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he knows his place, and he's willing to try to like help me out.
That's fantastic. I use Skeeter for a couple of mobility tasks. One that I taught him as soon as he was old enough and his bone growth plates had closed is to brace. And basically, if you've ever seen show dogs, a show dog stance is the most solid way that a dog can stand. It's four feet on the ground, evenly spaced, back straight. And I can then put my hands, one hand above his hips and one above his shoulders, and use him like a bench to get up off of the ground. I broke my back when I was on active duty in the Navy. And falling ever since then has always been problematic because it's very difficult to get back up because of the way my back healed. So Skeeter provides a mobile bench that I take with me so that if I do fall, or have to bend down, like if I'm grocery shopping and have to bend down to the bottom shelf, I can use Skeeter as a brace, and I just give him the command brace, and he squares up and put one hand on him, or both hands, depending on what I'm doing, and get up and get down very easily. So I'd like to suggest that that's a command that you explore training Indy. And, you know, Skeeter, I have the same problem with Skeeter. He's about 3.5-4 inches too short for me to put my hand on his shoulders without bending down. But he's the perfect height. He's the height of a bench. So he's the perfect height if I need him, you know, to help me get up off of the ground or get down to the ground. But his successor will probably be a bit taller, most likely.
Yeah, I feel like with some mobility dogs, that's usually Great Danes because they have the height, two of them. Yeah. But yeah, no, I haven't started using a word, like a task word yet for it. I just, because we just tried it yesterday, because I was just more seeing how he would react to doing those and if he would step up. Because I'm also finding that he just does things a lot naturally. Mm-hmm. There's not that much that I have to teach him, which is great, because I am not a good dog trainer. And that is obviously very clear, given that the program that I went through did all this negative stuff, and I thought it was fine because I knew nothing of dog training. Since then, I actually had a friend that went through the same program, and she went and became a certified dog trainer, as well as another friend that is now getting certified for dog training. And they're just like, yeah, what she did was wrong. The trainer was awful. Not good for the dogs, everything like that. So it's been a learning experience to try to relearn myself how to train. And then also with him, also try to relearn and establish, okay, we're not going to do negative anymore. We're going to try positive.
Yeah.
So that's been, and I've only started doing that within like the past couple months. And going from a negative trained dog to a positively trained dog is a little different, because he thinks now he has leeway and he can get away with a little bit more because he's very smart.
Funny how they're really, really smart.
Yeah. So he's just like, oh, so I'm not going to get pinched on the pinch collar anymore, and I'm going to get treats. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so he's trying to use it to his advantage. And again, I'm not a trainer, so I'm also trying to train myself to not revert back to the old training habits. And been reaching out to a bunch of other trainers to try to see if they could potentially like help me, because I'm the type of person, like, I need hands-on training. I need to see somebody else do it for me to actually understand it. And then, of course, you know, with PTSD, like, you get frustrated really easily, and frustration turns to anger, and then that scares your dog.
Because you're frustrated and angry.
Yeah, exactly. So So for the past couple of months, trying to do that has been a tad bit challenging. But again, like, at the end of the day, he knew what to do when I fell down the mountain. He's just overall just a great, great dog, and I'd pretty much be lost without him.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the coordination efforts and things that you had to go through to make sure that your service dog is being taken care of while you're in the hospital. You're listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
You're listening to WDVR on DVRadio.net.
I'm Dave Libby of WarriorService.org and SoserBand.com, and this is Contraband.
The Up in Arms Podcast.
We are not another military spouse / unconventional vet spouse.
Welcome to Media Letter Sandwich.
You're listening to Barracks Talk on DV Radio.
Welcome to Disgruntled Discussions.
You're listening to
The Marquee.
Woo!
Dirty Dirty.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai.
Hear all of these veteran-made shows on DVRadio.net. From original to syndicated shows, they're all on the DV Radio Network. Don't forget to check out the schedule banner to find out when your favorite show is airing. Again, that's DVRadio.net. And don't forget to search DV Radio on the TuneIn app on your mobile device.
DV Radio.
Ever shop online at smile.amazon.com? Why not give back to the DV Farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilsum, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. With me is Brittany Fintel, a United States Navy veteran, disabled veteran, who took a fall during a hike on Mount St. Helens with her dog, Indy. Now, we talked a little bit about the fall and some of the injuries you sustained. You were medevaced to a hospital in Portland, Oregon by the Coast Guard, and you had a problem. The volunteers, the people who helped make sure that you were safe and that you got rescued, brought Indy down and brought him to the hospital, and you were unable to care for him. Tell me a little bit about the, what happened and the process that you went through to find some help.
Yeah, so I obviously have never encountered this issue. So I wasn't really sure what my rights were. And at the time I was a little out of it to actually do research on the ADA to see if they actually covered any of this. Mm-hmm. The hospital staff definitely wanted Indy in a shelter. They mm-hmm. wanted to send him to a shelter. They did not want him in the hospital whatsoever. And that was mostly the admin people. Mm-hmm. Yep. The staff, however, the nurses were great. The first 2 days, they were willing to take Indy out on walks, during their breaks or once they got off their shift, to help me out. And, then one of the main nurses came in and she's like, we need to figure something out. Either he needs to go to a shelter or you need to put him in a doggy daycare, something. And I suggested, okay, well, if walking him is the biggest problem, I'm like, we're in a city. I'll download the Rover app and find a dog walker and just schedule dog walks. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, that's a workaround. And they approved that. They still sort of wanted him in a shelter or a doggy daycare. They still didn't want him there. So they tried to push me out as soon as they could. I actually ended up getting denied by a few rehab facilities because of meeting him. Mm-hmm. Even though we already found out a workaround with hiring dog walkers. So luckily, some of my friends from the Navy, a couple officers I knew, reached out to a congresswoman in Washington. And I wish I could remember her name because she was awesome and ended up calling the veteran home in the Dalles, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And told them the situation, and they were able to call me up the next day and work with me to get Indy and I over here so that we both could stay together and you wouldn't have to go to a shelter or a dog daycare, and you could actually stay with me and I could continue finding dog walkers. Uh-huh. And actually, since I got here in the Dalles, it's a very veteran community. Mm-hmm. So I haven't had to pay for dog walkers, luckily. It's all been volunteers set up by this wonderful woman named Dawn, who's been pretty much amazing support since I've been here. And yeah, she set up dog walkers for me, and we haven't had any issues. And now part of my physical therapy is actually taking Indy on a walk.
That's great. That's great. We're going to pause real quick so that I can correct this.
Yeah.
And we will be right back after this very brief break.
And we're back after a brief interruption by Freya, who is Nevermore's service dog prospect. She, when she runs out of water in her water dish, likes to attack it. And so that's Freya. Oh, the joys of training a puppy. This is the stage where I take her water dish away from her for about a half an hour because she's decided she's going to play with the dish rather than behave. So, yeah, that's one of the things, one of the fun things to do when you're training a puppy is find out their little quirks, and one of hers is beating her water dish up vocally.
Well, it probably deserved it.
Yeah. Darn, water dish ran out of water. I had to reduce. She only gets a cup of water at a time. And the second it's empty, I put another cup in because she was dumping, you know, a quart and a half of water all over the floor. And that's just, yeah, pretty messy. Puppies are fun. Okay, so like you were saying, the hospital administration didn't understand what your rights were. So I'm going to refer real quickly to the ADA website, and this is the regs2010/service_animal_Q&A HTML at ada.gov. This document is the ADA and Department of Justice's explanation of the service dog section of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Question 14 and 15 specifically deal with your situation. Question 14 is, does a hospital have to allow an inpatient with a disability to keep a service animal in his or her room? The answer is generally yes. Service animals must be allowed in patient rooms and anywhere else in the hospital and public that the public and patients are allowed to go. They cannot be excluded on grounds that staff can provide the same services. And then question 15, what happens if a patient who uses a service animal is admitted to the hospital and is unable to care for or supervise their animal? The answer is, if the patient is not able to care for the service animal, the patient can make arrangements for a family member or friend to come to the hospital to provide these services, as it is always preferable that the service animal and its handler not be separated, or to keep the dog during the hospitalization. So you can make arrangements for a friend to come walk the dog or keep the dog while you're hospitalized. If the patient is unable to care for the dog and is unable to arrange for someone else to care for the dog, the hospital may place the dog in a boarding facility, not a shelter, a boarding facility until the patient is released, or make other appropriate arrangements. However, the hospital must give the patient the opportunity to make arrangements for the dog's care before taking such steps. So, you know, it's kind of frustrating to me that a hospital, which is a place with medical professionals who should understand the Americans with Disabilities Act, would not have the common sense to look up the law and see what your rights were, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting situation. And until I actually got to the veterans home, I was actually completely unaware that I was even denied rehab facilities in Portland. So I wouldn't have had to do an hour and a half drive, like transport, to this location, because of having Indiana or, you know, needing him, and everything else like that. And I mean, the hospital wanted to actually discharge me the day after I got life flighted to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to discharge me almost every single day until then. And I had to put my foot down, and say, like, I'm technically living out of my vehicle right now. I have no place to go for rehab. I need to go to a rehab facility. And they have to allow me to be with my, you know, be with my service dog. And I even remember posting something in the PTS dog group about it. Because I wasn't sure. I've never been in this situation. So usually until you are in a situation with your service dog, most of the time you're not going to know the law because you've never, you know, thought of this situation ever occurring.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, but so, again, I mean, on the other side, you know, but on the other side of that coin is a hospital of all places should understand the law surrounding disabled people. I mean, they deal with people with disabilities on a daily basis.
And what was interesting is that there was a man, another veteran, that actually had a PTSD service dog down the hallway, and they had no issues with him. And apparently he was, I mean, this was all the trauma wing, but his brother came in and would walk the dog and everything like that. So I, you know, when I suggested, I'm like, well, if walking him is like the biggest thing, because I can vocally command him, you know, and I can see him and, you know, do everything like that. I'm like, if I can get a dog walker here, I don't mind paying for one. If I can keep my dog here, that was pretty much my workaround. And I didn't know that that was actually the rule of the ADA. That's just what I felt was just almost like a compromise.
Yeah.
You know, a logical compromise.
Yeah. And in fact, it is actually the law that you have the right to help, to find help to walk the dog if you're unable, so that the dog can remain with you. Again, you know, the question in that conversation when you asked, you know, my immediate thought was, would they take your wheelchair away? Why would they take your dog away? Again, hospitals should understand what a service dog is, understand the law around them. And it sounds like there's some great opportunities, not only for that hospital, but for the homes, to get some education, because they cannot legally deny you access to your service dog. So there's, and I'm not encouraging you to go report them to the ADA, but
yeah,
you know, maybe it would be worth your while and worth your time to make some calls and let them know that they violated federal law by refusing to take you in so that you had a place to recuperate.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. Also, it's just right now with my injuries, there's not like a lot of fight in me. I'm more concerned about healing.
Well, and you should be. I'm not saying call them tomorrow. Yeah. You know, you should. Right now, your focus is on recovering from a horrendous fall. Absolutely, that's your focus. I wouldn't want you to focus on anything else. Right now, you need to worry about getting better so that you and Indy can continue your adventures. Let's see. Trying to remember, I've been following your saga since the fall. There's several people who went out of their way to help do some coordinating and some work for you to find help. Would you like to say thank you to anybody?
Dawn, I'm trying to find her last name, but Dawn Wright has been amazing since I came to the Dolls. She has been my advocate. She created a dog walking schedule for me with, you know, volunteers, just people from the community, mostly all veterans or married to a veteran, or, you know, their family or their parents were veterans. So it's very veteran-like friendly area in the Dolls. But she's been amazing. She actually drove my SUV from the hospital to the nursing home so I could have access to all of my stuff since I was technically living in my vehicle. Michael, I can't remember his last name, but he's the veterans coordinator here. Also amazing. Helped me find out that I had benefits that I was completely unaware of with my percentage and has been extremely helpful. A lot of the people on the PTS dog group have been extremely helpful. You know, a bunch of other hikers, because I'm belong to a bunch of hiking groups on Facebook. Pretty much everyone on Facebook, minus one group who harassed me about leash law stuff, have been extremely supportive, you know, wanting to send me stuff, you know, to make my stay nicer, just help out in general. You know, I had a bunch of people saying that if any needed to be homed, you know, they'd be willing to foster. So everyone's been pretty much amazing. And there's just so many people that there's too many people to actually thank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Essentially.
Although,
so I'm just very, very grateful.
This is going to be painful, but I'm going to make you do it. There's one small group of people who you have to thank. And those are the people who pulled you off of that mountainside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Will, I don't know Will's last name. Mm-hmm. He was the second responder. He was the nurse practitioner. Yeah, he was amazing. Brad was search and rescue, but for a different mountain, was friends with Will. Mm-hmm. And I feel sorry for Will's wife. It was her birthday, and they were doing a birthday hike. And she stood by, and she ended up making sure that no one walked past the path where the boulders could fall on all of us while we're waiting for help. You know, so thank you for her. Then Jared was another search and rescue guy. Just everyone that came to my aid. I think Colton was the name of the SAR swimmer, that got me up into the Hilo. I think Nick was another one that was in the Hilo as well. But yeah, I've tried finding, I actually found oddly enough, some of them on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So they just keep wanting updates because, again, it's a miracle I'm alive. So they're actually happy that this was sort of like a good story that, you know, that they can actually follow along with my recovery, because most of those recoveries aren't, you know, it's more body bags than anything.
Unfortunately, yes. And yeah, I was trying to get you to say it, but you're not saying the words. It was a Coast Guard crew that rescued you from the mountain.
I know. I'm trying not.
We have to acknowledge.
I already had to do jabs with Colton. Already say like, "Oh, great! I'm getting saved by the Coast Guard." Jeez. Rub it in my face even more.
The two sea services are, well, there are three, but the two sea services are the United States Navy and the United States Coast Guard. And all the other services kind of treat the Coast Guard like the bastard children of the military, or the step brothers. So we have to get our digs in at the Puddle Pirates. One Navy veteran to another, we have to get that dig in.
I know. I was afraid that giving him that dig, he wasn't going to save me, though.
Oh, no. I think.
Did I do it at the wrong time?
No. I think that they, you know, honestly, having lived in the Pacific Northwest most of my life, the Coast Guard and the rescues that they do in Washington, Oregon, and Alaska are absolutely phenomenal. And those rescue swimmers go into some of the most horrendous situations. And not only do they survive the situation themselves, but they bring survivors out. And so we do need to definitely give a lot of credit to those Coast Guard search and rescue swimmers. They're very well trained. They're at the top of their game, some of the best in the business, and they're fantastic. Brittany, thank you so much for joining me. It's great to be able to get your story out. What are your plans once you're finished with recovery?
It honestly depends on how I feel with discharge. If I am up and walking, I might try to finish my road trip back down to San Diego, sticking with really short, sadly touristy hikes, which I'm not a fan of. But just to be able to like get out, make sure that Indy's out and, you know, hiking and everything like that. And then, you know, get back to San Diego and hopefully build or well convert a van, and continue traveling and at least have a place to live finally.
Yeah.
So, and continue our adventures.
Well, it's fantastic. I'm glad that you survived. I think it's a fantastic story. And kudos to Indy. You, what breed is he, by the way? I forgot to ask.
He is a German Shepherd.
Okay. So kudos to Indiana, the German Shepherd, for helping save your life and for being your battle buddy. It's just more evidence that service dogs do save lives, PTSD service dogs specifically, and help return their handlers to a more normal, more productive, more enjoyable life. This has been the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I am your host, Joaquin Watai. If you aren't aware, PTS Dog started in order to support a book. The book has been published. It is available. The title is PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and the Service Dog. You can find it at booklocker.com, amazon.com, and barnesandnoble.com. Please, if you're considering getting a service dog, if you have a service dog but want to learn more about service dogs, if you want to learn how best to support a family member or friend who uses a service dog, if you're a business owner and you just don't understand the ADA and the laws surrounding service dogs, all of these things are addressed in the book. Please check it out. That's PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and the Service Dog at booklocker.com, amazon.com, or barnesandnoble.com. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR. Thank you and have a good evening.